Good afternoon. The April 9th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for the Pledge of Allegiance. Dan?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, and please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on the regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give it to staff, the little blue speaker card. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature and you will be recognized. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equal to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you wish to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional questions, needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. All right, our first order of business is to approve the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
Noah, second.
All right, all in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. We have no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments. We do have one item that was requested to be removed from the final agenda. Excuse me, that's a comprehensive plan future land use map amendment for 4801 Metting Street. Is there anyone here today who wanted to speak on that item? All right. Do I have a motion from
Cole's motion to remove item one from the final agenda?
Plunk second.
All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. There are no items requested to be withdrawn. On the consent agenda is the approval of the March 19th, 2024 meeting minutes and the MPC meeting, MPC meeting minutes. Is there a motion for, or should I just go through all of them? We can do them all together, can't we? Okay. Also a major subdivision, track N, phase 1, 675 Highlands Boulevard, file number 24-000721, SUBP. And the major subdivision, track N, phase 2, 675 Highlands Boulevard, file number 24001085 at sub P. And major subdivision, Oakwood, phase 1B, 3401 Highgate Boulevard, file number 23006311 sub P. And finally, major subdivision, Aspire Phase, 3001 Highgate Boulevard, file number 24000532 sub P.
Cole's motion to approve the consent agenda with items 2 through 6.
Second?
Bull's second.
I have discussion. I know it's on the consent agenda, but this is no known opposition. If someone showed up, is there anyone in the audience that may be here for that consent?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who has something to say on one of those? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have no old business. Now, regular business, special use, accessory alcohol sales at bar and tavern uses in TC1, 2517 Bull Street, 24-001058-ZA. And I understand that the second one is closely associated. So you want to talk about both of them at the same time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The second one is special use accessory alcohol sales, bar and tavern uses in TC1 2517 West 42nd Street 24001104-CA. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the board, Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. I am going to speak to you briefly about these first two items, 24-001058-CA and 001104-CA at the same time. This is an associated petition requested to be submitted as two applications simply because these are two separate parcels, but both are under consideration for use together. And the request is for three separate special use permits, the first for accessory alcohol sales in association with a restaurant, the second for bar and lounge use, and the third for a specialty wine shop. What you see on your screen is an aerial view of the two subject parcels here, both identified as 2517, the first on Bull Street and the second on West 42nd Street. This is an aerial view of the site. You can see it's near the intersection of West Victory and Bull Street. Also very close to a couple of sites that we've seen recently, Say Hey and the new Say Hey. This is the future land use map and the zoning map for the area. We can see that the future land use map indicates traditional commercial use, and so this these requests are consistent. Also, the zoning is TC1. Just to offer you some definitions, the very first one showing that within the TC1 district, accessory alcohol sales in association with a restaurant is going to require a special use permit. That is item number one requested. Number two, bar tavern use. This is an establishment that's devoted primarily to dispensing alcoholic beverages, so more than 50% of their annual sales coming from alcohol. The third request is a wine specialty shop. This is distinguished from establishments that sell alcoholic beverages by package that are not wine, in essence. So specifically wine sales to be sold within this particular type of retail environment. This is a floor plan of the two structures that are proposed to be used in association with this use, which is described as a managed food hall. It is an environment where you could expect to have a combination of restaurants, small, perhaps one or more bars, and then small retailers. So in particular, dry goods and wine, staff has been informed are the intent here. Just to show you the facade, this is the principal building right here. The old, I believe this is CNS Poultry Supply. And you can see to the rear on West 42nd Street, both of these structures are proposed to be used. It is also staff's understanding there would be some minor construction that would happen here. But in essence, the uses are proposed to occur within the existing structures. This is a zoning certification from the city zoning administrator, stating that no off-street parking would be required. This is within the streetcar and Victorian parking reduction area. And so based on that reduction, as well as some prior parking that was in place for this use under previous development, based on those exemptions and credits, no off-street parking would be required for this combination of uses, all of which are proposed to be less than 3,000 square feet in area. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of all three of these requests. The first for accessory alcohol sales in association with the restaurant, the second for bar and tavern use, and the third for specialty wine shops. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Sorry, we should go ahead and hear from the applicant.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Planning Commission. For the record, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of the applicant, Starlin Bull LLC. We also have with us on behalf of the applicant, Colin and Madeline from Late Air Wine Bar, which you might be familiar with, which is just down the street. Colin has been consulting on this project to make sure that we can get a good mix of tenants for this site and is kind of the local liaison here. I do want to pull this up just 1 second. Nope. My apologies, just bear with me. Well, that'll be good enough for now. I will not continue to mess with it. But once again, we are proposing to do an actively managed food hall on this location at 2517 Bull Street and 2517 West 42nd Street. This site was previously the CNS Upholstery shop. It has been in use for a long time prior to this use, and this use is in need of some serious repair, as many of you have been to the site will know. Prior to this use, it was actually, and I will hand this out since that is not cooperating. That's a little better. Thank you, Edward. Prior to this use, this was actually an industrial bakery for many, many years on Bull Street. It was called Bart's Bakery, and they apparently had the patent on cream bread. And so this site on the right was actually an industrial production facility. For whatever reason, the Georgia Historical Society has taken all of their pictures down from the website, but they do have pictures of this facility, and it was a very intensive use. It was a large, large manufacturing facility, and what you can see in the photo that's being passed, which is being kind of cropped here, is that we had a door here and a door here with multiple uses, or the bakery use along with the retail use. At the back of the site, there is another door, which was another use affiliated with the bakery. And then the storage building in the back was also additionally part of the bakery. And so the intent of this project is actually bringing this corner and this site back in line with a use that was actually very similar to what was there when it was originally constructed. There was a question in the pre-meeting as it related to, okay, so you're coming in, you're asking for special use approval for this whole building. Has this been done before? And I will say that yes, for each and every large building within the Mid-City District that I've been involved in, we have gone through the same process. I represented Save-A-Lot when they did their plan. At the time, the salon was not there. They got lucky and got a big tenant to come in and take over much of the space, but that building was approved on a building level. We did the same thing for the Starlin Dairy building, which is currently under construction. There are going to be multiple small tenants there. And we did the same thing for the building at 2424 Bull Street, which is where UPO and Water Witch and Squirrel's Pizza are located. For these bigger buildings, and particularly when we have very active landlords, it often makes more sense to come in to get the whole building permitted up front. If we were to come in with five different tenants, we're adding $10,000 in application fees plus the time of coming back here. We do not believe that this is actually going to be six different restaurant spaces or six different bar spaces. Our intent would not be to put in a bunch of tenants that are going to cannibalize their own business. But because all of those tenant mixes are in flux, there's been some talks with some dry good merchants. There's been some talks with some restaurants, some talks with bars. We believe that in a situation like this where the landlord is willing to foot the expense to come in and get the special use approval and then stay on to actively manage the site, that this type of request is appropriate and has been approved in the past. Because what we are trying to do is minimize the cost and expense for the future tenants to come in and get approval. And so we do appreciate staff's recommendation for approval here. As what has been shown on the site plan, there will be multiple tenants on the ground floor, a tenant at the rear in the shed. None of this building is going to be demolished. Both are non-contributing, but there is serious restoration in store. For the upstairs, the proposed use was going to be office or art gallery, but not something that involved a special use. Completely separate tenants on the upstairs. And then for conceptual purposes only, we did just want to show the quick rendering that has been done. We still need to go back to HPC for approval here. But as you can see in the picture that I circulated, this was once kind of two buildings functioning together. We want to restore that look and that feel. They are engaged with a local architecture firm. And so we are trying to make this a reality. And so it's a project that I think everyone can be happy with. And this is just the first step to get this corner reactivated and reused. And we would specifically request that you approve of today's recommendation, as has been recommended by staff. But I'm happy to answer any questions that y'all may have.
Is there any questions for staff or petitioner?
Josh, how much of the original structure is under all of that?
That I do not know. Both are shown, at least on the contributing building map, as being non-contributing, with a date of 1975 and 1970. I do not want to get my client in trouble and say that, oh, yes, there's, you know, complete buildings underneath. But at the time they were evaluated, they were deemed non-contributing. The applicant's plan is, however, not to pursue that road of demolition, but actually does want to restore and repair them in the footprint that they exist.
Other questions?
I have a question for staff.
All right, go ahead, Dwayne.
So I'm not raising this question at all to impose any type of undue burden on the petitioner. However, I know this is in a reduced parking area, and just kind of considering the amount of traffic that we are facing with the redevelopment of this area, specifically with the Jenks reopening, the additional bar tavern space in relation to Sehay, and then however many units or operations come out of this development, I just want to raise the concern of the need to figure out what is going to happen from a parking standpoint. Again, this is not to impose any type of burden on the petitioner, because they are already by right within this reduced parking area. But this is a conversation that really needs to be considered, because it's going to immediately impact the quality of life for the residents in that area.
Absolutely. I'll just add, staff did look at the previous Starland parking study that was done. The one really significant finding I took from that was that there should be no grant of variances for parking reductions in this area. But based on the zoning certification that was received from the zoning administrator, no parking variance would be needed in this particular case. But that study was done in 2021, I believe. And so it did recommend an update within about 3 to 4 years. And so we are at that point, and it probably would be timely to revisit the Starland parking study.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we call that for the record and put a pin in that and run it up the flagpole as quickly as possible, because this could get out of hand real fast.
Thank you.
Question for staff. But that was not dependent upon this. You're just saying that 3 or 4 years, but it had no bearing on this.
No,
they advise zero parking variance.
So one of the outcomes of the study was that parking variances should not be granted, right. Particularly
okay,
given.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Well, I obviously have to take these. Oh, thank you. Is there anybody in the public? Mr. Breland, would you like to share? To speak on the...
Sure.
Okay. You gave me a blue card.
He's in support of the application.
Good afternoon. How are you guys? So my wife and I are business owners down the street. I was brought onto this project to help consult. The people that own this building, their hope is to bring in tenants that will add value to the community. They definitely have less ego involved with this project. They're not in a rush to acquire any said tenants that would, bring them a quick check, so to speak. It's been a really interesting process working with them as someone that has been operating a business in this area already. They could have very easily leased this out to a Buffalo Wild Wings or something of the sort. But instead they've, you know, been very kind in giving me the opportunity to create some outreach, work with people that already exist in the neighborhood, figure out what they want to see out of it. And also too, it's just something that will add a lot of value to the people that live in this area that want to see it grow. We have a lot of people that come into our restaurant looking for what's the next best thing, what's next to do in our area. And, we feel like there's a lot of, you know, room to grow. And there's not really a ceiling on the opportunity that's in this area. So, I am in favor, of this project, obviously, but I do think it'll add a lot of value to all of our lives. You know, moving forward. And I think too, the building, deserves to be rehabilitated in the way that they're planning to. So, yeah, that's all.
Thank you. Any questions? I actually have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you think of the parking in the area? Just to put you on the spot.
No, it's totally fine. I think that we've been very fortunate to see a lot of people commuting via bicycle. We did not have to get a parking variance, either for our building. That being said, I think that we are minimizing drinking and driving, which is important. We're huge advocates for that. So parking, you know, we make it known that parking is not available. But that being said, you're also coming to a wine bar and restaurant. So, but no, we see a lot of people walking. Obviously, Ardsley Park is across the street from us. And I think parking has become less of an issue because people are walking, you know, getting out and about. The area feels safe to walk at night as well, which has been important. But I do see a lot of parking available currently. Granted that if there's five, you know, blossoming, beautiful, you know, businesses that go into this, there might be a need for more. That being said, there's a lot of area, in this particular part of town, where parking is allowed, but people don't necessarily park over there. I think there's some opportunity for that, but as of right now, it doesn't feel too crowded, thankfully.
All right. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anyone else? I'd like to speak on this topic. All right. Do I have any discussion? Motion?
Do we take these separately, right? The two items. So Cole's motion to approve item number 7, special use accessory alcohol sales in bar and tavern. Staff's recommendation.
Plunk second.
All right. Ms. Amy?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Foles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melbourne?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Rico?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Plus?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
All right, and I too vote yes. So the motion passes. Now we'll take up the 2517 West 42nd Street. Is there anyone here to speak on that item? Okay, do I have any discussion or motion?
Cole's motion to approve item number 8, special use accessory alcohol sales and bar and tavern uses at TC1, 2517 West 42nd Street.
Noah second.
All right. Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Amick?
Yes.
I too vote yes. So that motion carries as well.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. All right, our next item is a map amendment rezoned from RACO and PBCCO to PD, 100 Little Neck Road. 2300-3457-CA.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, members of the board, this is Edward Morrow. This is a request to rezone the subject property at 100 Little Neck Road from RACO, which is residential agriculture in the county, and planned community business also in the county to planned development. And just to note, this is within the city. It was annexed in 2022. Just to give some context, we are near the intersection of Ogeechee Road and 204, particularly at the intersection of Little Neck and Ogeechee Road. The future land use map does indicate that the subject parcels are currently designated for planned development, and also you can see the mixture of zonings that are currently present. The PD that you see adjacent to this is the Hopeton Landing plan development that is already existing. Just to offer an overview of the proposed development, it totals about 282 acres. Of that, 104 acres is designated park and open space, 64 acres is salt marsh, and there would be 114 acres approximately of mixed uses. Of that 114 acres, we are looking at multifamily residential totaling about 562 units with two different densities, 18.65 acres at 14 units an acre and about 24.21 acres at 12 dwelling units per acre. Also 308 units of senior living on about 15.4 acres. A retail village consisting of about 12,000 square feet of commercial space, and then some general commercial totaling about 17 acres distributed between nine pods ranging in size from 3,500 square feet to 6,000 square feet per use. What you can see at the top is a phasing plan that goes over the 96-month planned time frame for construction. Years 1 through 8, you can see the number of new residential units that are planned, as well as the anticipated population within the area living within those dwelling units. Also, the kind of total square footage and density of each of these uses that I just enumerated can be found in this table when you see the master pod plan. This just goes through and shows the particular designation of each of the parcels within the pods. So, and here is that master pod plan that is proposed for development. Again, you can see in yellow, this is the multifamily, which is at the center, the senior living that is here in orange, with commercial uses adjoining Little Neck Road and Ogeechee Road, with a bit of a retail village right here adjoining the multifamily. Everything that you see here in green is designated to be parks and open space, which would create a setback off of the marsh area. Just for some reference, we can see here the existing and approved Hopeton Landing. And so for some context, this is the area that this board is presently being requested to make a recommendation for the rezoning, with the senior living pod to be found right here in orange. My apologies for that. But you can also see here that there's some mixture of residential housing types and a little bit of commercial on the original Hopeton Landing as well. The Regional Commission did take a look at this. This is DRI 4041, and they have stated that after reviewing the materials provided, the proposed rezoning and development is both generally consistent with the regional plan as well as Plan 2040 for Savannah. They recommended that close attention be paid to coordination with regard to utility and other infrastructure improvements as we move forward in the development. And so in reviewing this, there are two required components, in essence, that staff looked at. First off, the concept plan with the pods that you just saw. The uses and their associated tracts were clearly identified, with wetlands and environmentally sensitive areas also clearly delineated. An anticipated phasing plan was provided. We also spoke with the petitioner about their ongoing coordination for ensuring that there is adequacy of all utilities. And also, we are aware of the fact that there is a need for significant transportation improvement in order to bring this up to scale. There was one thing that was lacking, which is sidewalk and trail connectivity. But again, as the GDP comes through for staff or MPC review, that is something that would be required on the general development plan. In looking at the PD ordinance, the petitioner did provide permitted uses very clearly, as well as clarify their intended development standards. Staff did have one recommendation with regard to the proposed PD ordinance, and that was to align what is presently indicated as their interior landscaping strips and substitute those instead for the type B planting standards that can be found in NUZO in order to ensure that there's adequate buffering between residential uses and commercial uses. With this, the petitioner would have the ability to select between a 15-foot, 20-foot, or 30-foot option with associated plantings in order to meet that buffering requirement. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the rezoning of the subject properties from RACO and planned community business in the county to plan development with the three following conditions. The first is that adoption of the NUZO Type B buffer standards between dissimilar uses. The second being a staff approval of a GDP that is consistent with the conceptual pod plan that you've just seen. And the third condition being that of participation in the implementation of all recommendations numbered 1 through 6 in the submitted traffic impact study. And for your reference, I'm going to pull this up just so that we can see that this is a part of the agenda. I'm going to go to the very bottom to the referenced addendum for items 1 through 6. And we can see items 1 through 6 here. And it enumerates all of the intersection improvements and signalizations that are recommended. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the petitioner present?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Like to speak, please. 20 minutes for your presentation.
Tomorrow's going to be setting me up.
Good deal.
This is you. Close that. There we go.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Ethan Underwood. I'm an attorney with the firm of Miles Hansford. Our address is 178 South Main Street in Alpharetta, Georgia. And I'm joined today with the developer, Mr. Charles Roberts, and his vice president of land development, Bradley Russell. We are happy to be presenting this project to you. It's been a long time coming. And we were also pleased to sit through your work session. We know you had some great questions, and we're going to do our best to address all of those. With that, we do want to clarify, I can't see what all is being displayed, but I'm assuming you're seeing what I'm seeing on my screen as well. But the property is now 274.52 acres. That's because the county has already acquired significant right-of-way from Mr. Roberts. That was one of the reasons it has taken so long to get through the process, was working with the county to get that right-of-way. So we are now down to 274.52 acres. And as stated, this property is currently inside the city, but it retained the old county zones. Now, importantly, as staff noted, the comprehensive plan calls for this to be a planned unit development. One of the comments we saw in the staff report was saying, well, we think maybe RA is an appropriate zoning. According to the comprehensive plan, the appropriate zoning for this is a planned development, which is why we're here to flesh out the details with you. As stated, the site is undeveloped, has been farmed for many years, but Mr. Roberts actually already closed on the property. He's owned it for several years now, but you can see it's a remaining farm. So we are not unaware that a development of this type and this size has impacts. So we had several meetings with neighboring groups, and they expressed those concerns. What's the traffic impacts going to be? What's the new folks who the architecture come in here. So what we want to emphasize to you is the conservation aspects of this development, the quality that Mr. Roberts brings to his property. He's been developing for over 50 years and has done projects all over the Southeast, and that this is going to be something that the city's proud of. With that, you can see in the next slide, the property is encumbered by a very large powerful easement. It's not going away. That is going to be here in perpetuity. It's going to have to be incorporated into the design. But that's important, too, because you can't put structures underneath those power poles. So there's going to be significant landscaping that's incorporated into this part of the design, and then moving those commercial buildings along the highway and then integrating that with the mixed-use project. As stated, we're preserving significant areas of salt marsh. We'll get into more detail of that. A retail village, as well as apartment and senior living. All total, we're looking at over 200,000 square feet of commercial, but we're looking at a 8-year build-out. This is not all going to be one slug of traffic hitting Little Neck or Ogeechee Road at one time. It's going to be phased in over time with those improvements being made by the county and the developer for those project improvements as well. Again, we're looking at 549 total apartment homes phased in over several years, as well as senior housing. And we're proposing self-storage. Now, so I'm trying to zoom out. There we go. Importantly, looking at the retail village, we understand that commercial along those highways are important. It's going to be important for the folks that are living on the site as well. So we want to cast a vision for the feel of this. This needs to be a walkable community. I know that staff had a comment regarding where your sidewalk and your connectivity. That will be coming in the next phase. But as we're dealing with pod plans, we know that we do have to have connectivity. We are showing a 60-foot parkway that connects these properties and provide interparcel connectivity to Hopeton Landing to the northwest. But those sidewalks will be coming as the design is submitted in more detail. But again, what's proposed here, small town feel, keeping the low country architectural design that's walkable and properly scaled. Again, this is the visions. You can see photos of some of the buildings that Mr. Roberts has either been involved with as a developer, or he actually has spent the last 5 years himself serving on the design review board in the city of Milton. So he's understands sitting in a government seat and making sure that high quality architecture gets approved. Now, during the work session, we heard comments saying, well, is there going to be a community benefit to this? And the answer is yes. In phase two of the project in this village is envisioned a village green where people can attend concerts, play cornhole, just socialize. And we've seen these are actually developments up in my neck of the woods. You can see in the lower right corner, that's downtown Alpharetta. You can see up in downtown Milton as well. These are highly used. You can go out there any time of day after church. On weekends, people are out there using these areas, and we know that this will be a big, great benefit to the community. Now, the folks who are going to be living on site with the apartment homes, phase one, what's proposed is on the west side, I guess northwest side of the canal. You can see the parkway that I had mentioned that's going to be the access point. That will provide access, one, to Hopeton Landing, but also provide access to the residents and the folks who are attending the commercial development or utilizing the commercial properties to Ogeechee and to Little Neck. But what we'd be seeing, again, phase one, will show a phasing plan. But west side, you're looking at 289 apartments coming on, and then as phase two goes on, in the yellow, an additional 260 apartment homes. And these are designed to have a low country feel, architecture that is complementary to the surrounding homes. There's also a proposal for, on 15 acres of the site, a 308 unit senior housing facility. Now, senior housing can be anything from independent living. It can incorporate assisted living, so folks who do these assistance with bathing, clothing, feeding, or it can even get into such things as memory care, folks who really have more maintenance. We don't have anybody locked in at this point, but this would be, frankly, Mr. Roberts working to find the right partner for folks that want to be in an integrated mixed-use development. We think initially it would likely be a 55-plus independent living facility, but certainly Mr. Roberts is open to other options. But again, this is the feel. You want it to have a resort-style feel, complementary architecture, certainly not institutionalized, but a place where folks who don't want to maintain a yard, who don't want to or who had the amenities of a country club taking care of them in a senior housing community. Now, the amenities that are proposed, this was a question that came up in the work session today. The amenities are proposed are for the residents here. So there's a significant amount of open space. Obviously, the salt marsh is not going to be disturbed, but this is going to be privately maintained. So it won't be open to the public to use these amenity areas. But with the roughly 550 apartment units plus people coming into the town green, all that will be maintained by property owners associations. The open space that's proposed, again, you've got salt marsh that's preserved. You do have in the green, which shown as open space, that will not be open to the public. That's going to be used exclusively for the use of the residents because they'll be the ones paying to maintain that green space. Again, it won't just be left fallow. It's going to be a combination of parklands, water features. Obviously, the marsh will be preserved and also pocket parks. See, this slide shows that there is already an abundance of open space. It's important to try to preserve as much of that as possible. What's shown in this plan is that almost 60% of the property is preserved as open space. The developments of the phasing, this is what we were talking about a little bit earlier, approximately 106 acres, a little over, will be developed. It'll be on the west side of the canal. And then as that is built out, phase two would open up with additional housing and then with the village center. Now, the biggest concern I think we heard from both neighbors and from the planning commission in the room was traffic design. We understand that the county is finally moving forward. They have noted they've acquired right-of-way from Mr. Roberts to start making the improvements that are coming along. And I think the question came up, is the developer comfortable with staff recommendations? The developer is certainly comfortable paying his pro rata share of these improvements. I do have to state for the record, we can't be asked to do everything for the county and for the city. I mean, frankly, this stuff, there's needs from a large church on the that uses the road from the existing neighborhoods. There's need there, but we do certainly acknowledge that this development will add to that, and it is certainly fair to ask for a pro rata contribution from the developer. With that, I do also need to clear up a couple of things. I guess add some scope to comments that were in the staff report. One, we did want to clarify the acreage modification. That's because of the right-of-way acquisition. So we are dealing now with 274.52 acres. There was we noticed in the staff report that it listed by square footage the specific uses. We don't know all of those specific users. It got into nail salons. It got into quick serve restaurants. Those were presented by our client's traffic engineer so that they could calculate what the anticipated traffic impact would be. However, those square footages are should only be used solely for the purpose of the traffic impact study and should not be applied. It is not intended to modify the use table that you have in your packet. It's not intended to modify the performance standards that are in your use packet. There was some discussion with neighbors. They were talking about fill of a pond. We wanted to clarify. I think it just the materials just didn't have the context. We were asked about a pond on the site. There is no existing pond. There was a pond that Mr. Keller filled in very long time ago, but there is no pond on the site. We had some neighbors, I think, that were confusing this with the Hopeton Landing track. They were asking, well, what about the cemetery? There is no cemetery on the site. They were asking about the pecan orchard. There is no pecan orchard on this site. All that's further up to the north. So we wanted to clarify for the record, Mr. Roberts has no control over those, but obviously won't be impacting them because they're not on his property. As far as filling in, we did note, and we saw that the Ogeechee Riverkeeper had some comments about filling in floodplain. There is a small portion of the property that will be filled, but that's all going to be done in accordance with the Corps of Engineers regulations. If you fill in floodplain, you have to compensate for the storage capacity elsewhere. Again, that's all handled through the Corps. They've got the final veto on that. But that will be modified, but we want to clarify that there will be no salt marsh that is impacted by the development. And then I finally, I guess, as what we stated earlier, the developer has no problem. We did talk about traffic concerns and impacts when the traffic signals coming in. We're concerned, I guess, when we see the zoning conditions that says thou shalt address all of these different lists of traffic improvements. Again, we have no problem with the developer contributing its pro rata share. We just don't want to have permits held up and say, well, you can't get a permit until you get all of these things taken care of. There's a lot of players that need to come into that. And then last but not least, I will address the staff's comment on buffering. Mr. Roberts has no problem with adequate buffering and landscaping of the site, but we do want to make sure that whatever is approved, whether it's a type B buffer or whether it's the landscape strips we originally proposed, that doesn't interfere with the interconnectivity of the residential and the commercial. We heard a comment saying, well, we want adequate separation between residential and commercial uses. Candidly, we don't. We want people going back and forth between the commercial and the residential, so it is a true mixed-use development. With that, we do appreciate your time and consideration. We're happy to answer any questions, and we'll reserve any time we have. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Questions for the petitioner or staff? Go ahead.
Sir, Mr. Welch, did you say that y'all may have a memory facility there?
We do not know. And the answer is we've asked for senior housing, and senior housing can be 100% independent living. It could theoretically have a memory care aspect to it. We do not have a user in hand. It is a possibility based upon what we've requested. We think it's most likely it's going to, the folks that are going to want to live this close to commercial, it's probably going to be independent living.
Okay, because I know that would require nursing and the likes of somebody wandering off, you know, into the land. So I was just curious.
Understood.
When you mentioned that, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Woody.
I have a couple of questions about, you agree that this development is subject to the widening of Little Neck?
How do you mean, sir?
You really couldn't do this development until that's completed. Is that correct?
I don't know that if you're saying we couldn't get any building permits, I don't think that is correct. I think construction could begin. And Mr. Roberts has worked with the county to provide them that right of way that they're needing for this improvements.
Okay. Next question. The commercial, what I see is, you know, identified areas of commercial, but it doesn't really have a limiting factor of what its uses are. And I know that the plan district requires commercial uses within the character of the neighborhood, but is there any limiting factor on what those commercial uses are going to be? Do you have that idea in your head about what those are going to be? Will you reference current existing use tables? How are you going to come up with a limiting factor on what those commercial uses will be?
The use table itself designates permitted uses and non-permitted uses. I believe what we did discuss specifically, tire stores are not going to be an allowed use on the property in any of the commercial pods. But if you'd like, I'll step over here and get the spreadsheet. But it's very in depth as to those uses.
Yeah, I didn't see that in the packet. That's what I was asking about. There it is. I'll look at that while you're. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes.
Other questions? Go ahead, Ms. Bowles.
You mentioned that the community made reference to a pond that you mentioned was filled in earlier. And then there's another section that's going to be filled in. And I was looking at the green space that you have on site. It's not the kind that uses stormwater, right? So it's going to be sheet flow off of that that kind of manicured site.
That's correct.
And so, but you mentioned that you are working with the Army Corps of Engineers to address stormwater management.
Yeah, with the Army Corps as well as EPD and the city, correct.
Anything else? Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Wabudi, did you have?
Yeah, no, I
okay. And I actually have a few myself. I'm sorry. When the traffic study was done, did they consider Little Neck Road as a two lane or a four lane?
I'm going to defer to our development vice president, who's also an engineer. I think she can answer.
Hello, for the record, I'm Bradley Russell. Our engineers considered it as a two lane before our development and then considered it with the improvements that are proposed by the county.
So
after the development,
the road really is, or the development really is, dependent on the road as far as the level of service given in the transportation study, correct?
So yes, with the traffic study with the build out, it did. Yes. Yes.
Okay. And during the pre-meeting, we did talk about more connections and we kind of got some vague, yeah, we'd like to do that, but is there any way that we can assure that we have more connections?
I'm sorry.
Can you give me information on how we're trying to pursue those?
So we are actually working with our neighbor and we have provided interparcel connection at the location shown in our master pod plan. Thank you. And they have that connection permitted with the city of Savannah already.
And that will be our one connection?
Yes, ma'am.
No other connections are anticipated or being pursued?
No, ma'am. With, here we go. So the interparcel.
Let me answer that. That is a 60-foot right-of-way in a main parkway that you see running along the power line.
Can you please state your name for the record?
Yes, ma'am. Charles Roberts.
All right, thank you.
So access and interconnectivity is critical for us to bring all the neighbors next door and the neighbors on Al Henderson to that intersection. While you're looking at a pod plan, this is really my transportation plan also. So there's a serious expensive connection there at Al Henderson because there's a lot of people coming that direction that allows them to come into the property, turn right on the parkway and go up to the retail and into that retail component. We've done a lot of retail. We understand retail. We understand it's got to be easy to get to, whether it's on a bike, golf cart or a car or walking. And so that parkway runs into the neighbor. It's up to MPC and Savannah on how the neighbor uses it. We hope he uses it wisely and continues his parkway or our parkway into his property. And then all of that traffic stays off Little Neck and flows up to the restaurants, the shops on our parkway. The roundabout that I'm doing, we have extensive in the hundreds of roundabouts in North Atlanta in the last 10 years. And our traffic is moving better than ever because we had a disaster in traffic 20 years ago at the Olympics. So a roundabout takes care of the morning rush, the evening rush, and it's moving that traffic the way it should move. So there's no stop signs. Those traffic circles are at least a quarter of a million each. And you see it at Al Henderson so they can work the traffic circle. And then you see it at the apartments and the retail traffic circle. And you see one more behind those pads because earlier in the work session, you talked about service roads. There is another roundabout right behind those four commercial pads, and there will be a road behind those pads. We've called it a service road, an access road. We heard a lot of terms, but it is an interparcel access, and all those pads will be interparcel accessed. They will have an exit out the back into the road that runs behind those pads into that roundabout. So this pod plan, the internal how you do the apartments, code's going to require that. Code's going to require so many parking places. That's elementary to the importance of the county canal the drainage, and the road network that I'm creating at Al Henderson. I am in total agreement with the county and the county transportation department as we worked out that right-of-way over 2 years and the giving of that right-of-way and the eliminating of several driveways onto Little Neck. And they're very happy with this, and we reached that agreement about 6 months ago. So pay attention to the parkway. It is a major 60-foot right-of-way. It's a $1 million road that'll be built through there so that all of my traffic is internal unless it's going to leave the area. And then it's got to go out on 17 or Little Neck. And that will be functioning all the time, keeping everybody inside a planned mixed-use development. We need those housing units to go shop at that retail. And therefore, we want to keep them internal. So study that. We don't have excessive driveways. We don't like those either. We all went to school on this 20 years ago in Atlanta about too many curb cuts and not having interparcel access. Your retailers generally don't like it, but we make them do it. I just did a deal with Chick-fil-A, and I'm making them have interparcel access because it works. And it minimizes traffic and accidents and on and on. So the roundabouts are critical to traffic flow.
Okay.
The parkways.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? The roundabouts that you're talking about are all going to be on site. Have you investigated the possibility of roundabouts at some of those intersections that you have shown as signalized intersections?
No, because DOT, we've had discussions 3 and 4 years ago about with DOT. That's where they want it. You mentioned the study that's being done. We've been talking to DOT for 5 years, and so we know this intersection is going to get rebuilt, redone, and the traffic light go in there, and that's what they want there. They don't want a roundabout. Al Henderson, the county wants what we show. We've given them the right-of-way to make that happen, and the roundabout will be internal because the traffic will be flowing up and down Little Neck in the area. Our traffic will be inside.
Okay. And these will be public roads?
The parkway will be, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And can you tell me how the utility and transportation are being coordinated between you and the city and the county?
How utilities and transportation? Transportation is have been our work with the county, and so that's just back and forth with your officials. And in the end, pretty much we just fell to our knees and saluted and did what they wanted.
Okay.
That was the a lot of nice letters for 3 years, 4 years, and then finally it was, this is the ultimatum. We were worn out. We saluted and did what they wanted. Internally, we're working with Savannah on water and sewer because Chatham County didn't have water and sewer. That's why we were forced to go in the city. We would have much rather stayed in the county, but I couldn't make a deal with Tony Abbott in his package plant, and Chatham County can't provide sewer. So Tony Abbott forced me into Savannah. If he was sitting here, he would agree with that.
And the only connection that you intend to have is the one that you show on this parkway over the county canal.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Okay.
We had two. One failed recently, and the county took it out. We still have one. That will go away when we build the new one.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions?
I have a question for him, but with staff, would you bring back up the timeline? Because we really don't know when Hopeton 1 or the original Hopeton.
Just to be
looking
sure.
At when senior living will come online.
Oh, sorry.
Does it say?
Let's go to this one for a minute, and I can answer his question with that one.
So senior living will come on.
What we would ask you to do is, first, it's my understanding that the Hopeton Landing next door is all for sale. It's currently out there on the market. They're not developers. They're going to sell the property. They don't know who's going to buy it, and it's for sale right now. So they're not developers. It's going to all get sold. We're going to rely on you to watch them, make sure we get quality development next door. On mine, I'm going to do phase one, which is the first apartment complex and the senior living and some of those pads out front and do the Al Henderson intersection first. That'll be over the next 3 or 4 years. The second phase will be out front. We have a signed agreement with InMarket to do an InMarket out there. We're going to be 2 or 3 years with DOT working that traffic light out and all the things we're doing out there. So phase one is over the next 3 to 5 years. Phase two is 5 to 8 years. And that's not maybe, that's just what's going to happen because of the complexity of working out the reworking of 17 in that intersection with DOT. So all you'll see from us the next 5 years is phase one and the senior housing and those a little strip shopping center, neighborhood commercial on either side of the Al Henderson traffic. So very minimal development the next 3 to 5 years.
All right. Anything else from anybody?
Happy to answer anything else. Ours, we're going to develop this. I own it. And there's no maybe about what we're going to do.
All right. Mr. Coles has a question for staff.
Mr. Morrow, the attorney mentioned them being willing to do the pro rata contribution for the traffic improvements. Are those the improvements on the addendum? Is that what we're discussing?
Right. Only those that were recommended as part of the study, and that would be a negotiation between the city and county managers.
So for the staff's recommendation, number three, to implement the recommendations, are we saying for them to, for the developer to pay for those things or to agree to work with the city and county?
That should be restated to say to pay their pro rata share, okay, to work with the city and county in cooperation.
And one more question. As far as the point one of the adoption of NUZO type B buffer planting standards, I understand the developers idea of having it kind of more incorporated the residential and business. How does the staff feel after having heard that about having a buffer between the two?
We're amenable to that, but we would like to see the GDP just so that we can understand what the intensity of the two different sides would be.
So if we have the GDP come back, maybe strike that first recommendation until we've seen that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And if I could add that we're happy to bring it back. We exceed everything you require, and we're happy for you to look at it and share it with you, with staff, as we go along.
Yes. Okay. All right. Any other questions for the developer or the staff? All right. Are there any? Well, I know I have some people in the audience who would like to speak.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Florida Hunt, or Florida Hunt, Mr. Hunt.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
My name is Florida Hunt, Deacon Florida Hunt. I represent Bethel Missionary Baptist Church, which is right on the corner of Little Neck Road and Geechee Road. Wonderful presentation. You had some beautiful pictures. But you didn't show a picture of my church. That's what I thought. Have any of you been down Little Neck Road lately? In a new car? It'll be an old one if you keep riding down Little Neck Road. It's horrible the way that road is. They come and they patch a hole, and then when it rains, it comes out and you got a bigger hole. Any of you been down Highway 17 or Geechee Road around 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Traffic. They already putting two, I think it's three, apartment buildings down on Geechee Road. And you fixed to put all of this over right across the street in Keller's property. And we have no objection to the Keller's improving it. My church comes from the Keller's. January 3rd, 1803 is when our church was established. Right down the road on Little Neck Road, there is a grave. Part of it is Keller, another part is Bethel's gravesite. So my question, and I want to put it where the goats can get it. My church services that I used to have at 6 or 7 o'clock now have been pushed back till 7:30 or 8 o'clock because of the traffic. We can't get people in. And I know you say you're going to do it in 5 years, 6 years, but right now we're in trouble. If there's a wreck on 16, you cannot get down. Ogeechee Road is bumper to bumper. And now if there's a wreck on the road, all lanes are blocked because they're bringing fire trucks down. What are we doing about that? That's my problem right now. Businesses you put in the area, I don't know what they are. Is there a liquor store going to be in there? If there is, we're opposed to a liquor store. We're opposed to a nightclub. We're trying to save souls, not send them to hell. So we
I promise you no liquor store, no night. You and I talked
and I said let's let him speak and you can speak later.
I am concerned because we just everywhere you look, we just blowing up.
Sir, can you make sure that you're speaking into the microphone,
please? I'm sorry. Everywhere you look, we're blowing up with new apartments. Warehouses, and we still have homeless people in the community. We still have people that can't afford the places they're living in the community. In the Bible, it says, vanity, vanity. It's all vanity, said the preacher. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Chase Rosen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Chase Rosen. I wanted to oppose this for a lot of reasons that honestly were covered by that presentation. That was a wonderful presentation. I wish that the one I had received at the first community meeting were more like that one. The slides were very similar, but the presentation was very different. Perhaps my concerns could have been alleviated sooner, but I did not feel comfortable speaking with the developer. Because at that presentation, they were quite confrontational by addressing one resident by name. Excuse me. They called out a resident by name before they had ever spoken multiple times. And they seemed dismissive in my eyes from any concerns that were shared. For example, many residents were concerned with the high prices, with the high rent. And the response that I noted was, that young people nowadays, many young people nowadays, live in six-figure income households, which I, as a young person, find to be quite out of touch and almost insulting. But again, a lot of my concerns were met by this presentation, and I'm swayed considerably, but I will still oppose this because of the low density and for the lack of discussion regarding seeking parking requirement exemptions. I know this is not about that, but it would have quite an impact on the traffic, and that is a big concern here. And then I'd also like to know about that traffic study. It seems very silly to me. I agree that it's odd for that to be required, especially since the engineers apparently just make up all of the numbers, and the Institute of Transportation Engineers' own manuals have low to no correlation between square footage and traffic generated. Sometimes it's even negative, suggesting that more area leads to less traffic or less parking. So that's quite silly. I hate to close it like that, but again, a lot of things were addressed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, Ms. Wilson, Amanda Wilson. No? Okay. Kim Cowart.
Well, I live across the street.
If you could come.
I'm sorry.
And
my name is Kim Cowart, and I live across the street on Highway 17. I think it's an awesome thing for us to have something on the south side that is worthy. The traffic has been horrendous. I've been there 25 years. There is no change. I don't want to point my fingers, but from this side or the county or the DOT and God only knows. There's wrecks every day. So you can't blame a developer that's coming in for more traffic when we hadn't done anything before they got here. And if you pull all the police reports, you'd be amazed how many dump trucks, cars, ambulances hitting each other. What I'm saying to you, it's a great thing for us to have this. We need something on the south side. We don't always have to go downtown to all the structures, and we don't have to go to Forsyth. We can have something nice and very luxurious. We don't need to go to Pooler. I hate to tell y'all, they're outgrowing you. But, you know, in Richmond Hill. So we need to have something nice. But you need to reflect on the south side. Yes, the church is there. The Hendersons are there. But before even this gets here, y'all need to look in the mirror and get us something done on 17. I mean, really, Little Neck Road is like Mr. over there. I go there every week. With the new development being done, we ain't done anything. There's more potholes up there than we can plant trees in them and have shade. That's the truth. Thank you for your time. Good luck.
Thank you,
ma'am. I appreciate it if you do something before this development gets here on the roads.
Thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Would the petitioner like to respond to the comments?
Oh, we do have someone online raising their
hand. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it we have online?
Carrie Bieber.
Hi, Ms. Bieber. Would you like to go ahead and share? Ms. Bieber, can you unmute yourself?
They're unmuted. We don't hear anything.
No. Ms. Bieber, are you there? All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Bieber, we don't hear anything, and I'm just going to have to move on. All right. Is there anybody else online or anyone else who'd like to speak?
No.
All right. Okay. Any discussion among board members?
I have a little discussion. Just because we seem to be running into this frequently with these planned developments, is that they're popping up before the infrastructure is there to support them. And we're in the Savannah area. It's no secret that we're in a housing crunch, and so we're needing more housing. So I understand the frustration that everyone feels, because I feel it too when I'm stuck in traffic and driving over potholes that could swallow my truck. We're not necessarily the body that can control the state DOT and get them to widen roadways and build this infrastructure. We're really here to see if the areas are appropriate and the zoning changes are appropriate. So as a board member personally, I absolutely feel for everyone that deals with the traffic and the infrastructure issues. But I just want to be clear, we don't have a lot of control over the roadways. So I would recommend definitely reaching out to your state representatives and senators and putting pressure on them to put pressure on the DOT to invest more money in our area, because we are one of the fastest growing regions in the state. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think it's just DOT. I think it has to do with county and city cooperation as well. So obviously we need everybody to work together to improve these roads. Any other comments? Discussion?
I would be interested, and I'm not sure that this is protocol, but we have both the city manager and the county manager here, and you just alluded to the fact that they need to be communicating as well. And earlier I'd asked if there was any definitive plan to widen Little Neck, and I believe I was told no. So I would like to hear.
It was in discussion, yeah.
I'd like to hear from both our city and county manager, because nothing's happened in there. The road is deplorable. I'm stunned at the terrible condition that it is, and all the development that has happened over the last couple of years. But there doesn't seem to be any foresight to improvements. So I'd love to hear their perspective.
I think Mr. Kegler is ready to respond.
Yeah, I will address part of that. There is a plan in place to four-lane Little Neck Road. It's been on our Chief Sploss list. And I'll let Mr. Melvin speak on city's behalf, but we have been in discussions as to how we go about solving that problem. So it's not that it's been ignored and neglected. I think we're looking at an issue now, you know, how do we pay for it? And that's kind of where the county stands on.
I just ask one point of clarity from the county manager. That widening was on the last T-SPLOST list that did not get passed, correct? Thank you.
As soon as we get Mr.
Go ahead, Mr. Melder, City Manager. All due respect to the chairwoman of this board, I do believe that the city and county do have a very good cooperation and coordination when it comes to these items that impact both county right-of-way and city property, and I welcome the petitioners to the city of Savannah. The county manager and I and our teams actually met last week to discuss Little Neck Road as well as other roads. I think the county manager is correct. The constraint here is resources, and the state allows for special purpose local option sales tax to be devoted to transportation. Our region and our voters have not opted to take up that transportation revenue source two times. That's not pointing the finger. That's just a reality that we have limited resources to be able to provide there, which I think is so incredibly important that we manage and optimize the growth moment that we have right now in our county to make sure that we're expanding our tax digest when possible with developments like this in responsible ways that allow both the county and the city of Savannah to receive resources from new rooftops and from new businesses that will allow us to continue to improve our infrastructure needs. We've also, luckily, because of all of the economic development and the needs for housing in our region and Chatham County and the city of Savannah particularly, we've received a lot better focus and partnership from the Georgia Department of Transportation. They recently released their Coastal Empire Transportation Plan earlier this summer, which addresses many of the needs, especially in our growing western part of the county and city. I think that with the state's budget, which allocated several hundred millions, over $1 billion worth of local infrastructure and roadway expansion across the state, a lot of that's going to be focused here in the Coastal Empire region, and we can just look towards that report to know exactly where those investments are going to be needed. And even if they aren't along Little Neck Road specific to this development, any resources that we get from GDOT or that are leveraging Federal Highway Administration dollars are more local resources that we can put to our local roads, like Little Neck Road, like Bush Road, like the roads that we're continually talking about here at MPC. So that's a long answer to the short question. But we met last week and actually I think came up with a cooperation, the terms of a cooperation agreement where the city and county could work together to improve specifically Little Neck Road. But again, it's about finding those resources, which we don't grow on trees
here in Savannah. Thank you, Mr. Melder. And I understand Ms. Bieber was having some technical difficulties, but you have her on phone now.
Yes, ma'am. Carrie, you can speak.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think they can.
Okay. My name is Carrie Bieber. I'm with the West Chatham County Community Watch, and I'm also with the West Side Coalition. And I agree with the comments that Mr. Rosen and Deacon Hunt made earlier. I was that person who was called out in the public meeting. I was there to listen and see the presentation. I had a list of questions I wanted to ask. And unfortunately, there was not any type of Q&A during the meeting. It was more people in the audience getting frustrated and calling out concerns and no Q&A. I'm not sure still why I was singled out at the meeting. We shook hands when we left. I was told in an email on August 21st that they would include West Chatham County Community Watch and everything that they did going forward, and I have not heard from them since that email. So I was a bit disappointed with the outcome of the meeting and how things were handled. But another concern for me is always a concern when I see errors in reports. I noticed in the traffic report that it said Chatham County has an impact fee ordinance in place and the off-site system improvements are covered through the impact fees implemented by the county. That's not correct that I'm aware of. The city of Savannah has the impact fees, and I did not see any documentation in the files to support that Chatham County has approved of any of the off-site improvements. I would like to see that if that's the case. It was a little confusing. I'm also confused by the DRI, the master pod plan that was in there was dated August the 23rd, 2023. That was the version. All the words in that plan changed from retail, from commercial to retail. I'm not sure why the wording was changed. There was also extra verbiage in there that is not included in the June 30th version that is in the MPC's packet. And also the words were changed back to again read commercial instead of retail. Looking at the Keller PD as one development that's going on in the area causes us to run into problems. We've got to stop looking at everything in a segmented fashion and consider all of the other developments that are going on around here. When you take Keller's 17,000 plus cars a day, Hopeton Landing's 20,000 plus cars a day, New Hampstead's that can generate up to 4,600 cars per hour during peak times, we're looking at a collective over 50,000 vehicles up and down Little Neck daily. Right now, Little Neck has 7,132 cars a day, according to GDOT's 2022 information. We have to look at everything as a whole. GDOT is currently doing a study on 17. It's been brought up by the Coastal Region Commission, by the MPC, Plan 2040, supports to get together and use a regionally coordinated and responsible growth plan. Trip Tolleson with Hyundai also echoed this in his presentation to the commissioners in December. And he also suggested regional collaborative efforts for housing. We also have to come to the table and do some regional water planning. It's crucial for this area. We cannot keep doing the segmented plans one at a time. It has to be a holistic approach. Building in the floodplains, and the meeting we had at Scottsdale Park, the developer said they met for 3 hours with the riverkeeper and, quote, this is my notes, the stuff they wanted them to do, they will do what they said. So why are we still building in the floodplains? This is a 100-year floodplain. There's a common misconception that it only floods every 100 years, and that's incorrect. The reality is that in a lifetime of a 30-year mortgage, there is a 1 in 4 chance of experiencing flood damage. If it was a lottery, I'd play a 1 in 4 chance, but I'm not doing that with my home. So we really need to try and follow the riverkeeper's recommendation to not build in the floodplains. My last comment is we have seen on Little Neck what happens when you rush into developing. The town, the city of Bloomingdale, currently has 2 truck stops up by John Carter in Highway 16. They rushed into these truck stops without the proper drainage plan. They didn't get the DRI done. They're on probation with DECA. When it rains, a normal storm event, normal, the road floods. There is water standing in the road. That water flows to the Little Ogeechee, which runs from Bloomingdale,
we need to stay on,
all the way down Little Neck to where the Keller PD is. We've got to stop and slow down and let the current flood studies and the current road studies catch up to the development that we're already doing.
Thank you, Ms. Bieber.
To plan for smart growth.
Carrie.
Yes?
I think they're trying to wrap
okay.
up comments.
Okay.
Thank
you. We have to start somewhere. Please vote no. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Any rebuttal from the developer?
One, again, thanks for all this time and allowing us to present everything. I did promise the pastor we would not do a liquor store out on those front pads. We don't love smoke shops, liquor stores, or nightclubs, and he doesn't either, so we're aligned on that. If you have any further questions after all you've heard from everybody, but we will meet every code. We're going to meet every requirement or exceed it that you or the city has, our DOT. That's just what we do. That's the rule of the land, and we're going to meet those. We're actually in discussions to donate 100, 150 acres of that marsh as a conservation easement to the riverkeeper. And I think it's the coastal, who's the conservation lady we've been meeting with? So it's the state of Georgia. So we've had several discussions with them on how we do that legally, so that it's forever natural. When we talk about filling, again, everybody loses focus on things. We're going to fill on that lot at the very end, about 2 acres. Which we have the right to do if we compensate and do everything we're supposed to do to create that fourth pad out front. So that's the only thing we're doing in the floodplain in that 150, whatever it is, 2 acres up there right on the corner. And there's drainage issues off of 17 onto us that need to be fixed also right there. As we fill that pad, we'll fix that with DOT. So that's the filling is 2 acres to make that pad work. And otherwise, again, we just want to work with each municipality, meeting all your codes and requirements.
Thank you.
As we go forward.
Thank you
for all your time.
All right.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Bowles.
I have a question for the petitioner. There was an issue that was raised regarding affordability. How was that addressed?
I don't believe there's any specific initiatives that are being proposed. However, as far as the rents we're looking for, folks, that was I think we told the neighbors was we estimated these rents would start probably around $2,000 per month. Unfortunately, that is becoming the affordable standard. But these are not going to be designed to price people out of the market. These are going to be designed to facilitate people who are going to be working and using this commercial development.
Madam
All
Chair.
Right. Go ahead, Mr. Melder.
I think there were some really great questions that Ms. Bieber brought up that I think should be addressed. One, it's always good to hear from Ms. Bieber and the West Chatham Coalition. I think they represent their concerns very well, and hopefully our developers will treat them as important stakeholders moving forward. But I do want to point out some specific issues where we are doing some good regional planning that people should look into. Once you mentioned CETA, the county and the city, as well as other surrounding counties, have funded a housing study through Georgia Tech for the region. And I want everybody to be paying attention to those results and the recommendations that come out of those results. As far as regional traffic and transportation and planning, again, I would point to GDOT's Coastal Empire study, you know, which shows what happens if we do nothing about our roadway. And it's pretty scary stuff. So it's really important that we dig into those areas. And I would encourage people to tune in to the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is part of this body as well, for all of those regional transportation issues that are brought up, which do include local roads. So I think it's really important that our stakeholders are familiar with those processes as well and what their communities are doing around planning. But I absolutely agree with her that we have to do better regional planning, and we have to be more transparent about how we get there. Thank you, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You. 17 is part of the MPO's responsibility, correct?
Yes, it's part of a study that was just started earlier this year that I mentioned. So,
but Little Neck Road is not.
Well, it would. It, I think you have to kind of look at the map and the boundaries. Anybody that's interested in that study, if you go to our website, you'll see a tab that says core or the coastal area. I'm having a senior moment here, but basically it's the MPO, mm-hmm. and it has the boundaries as well as more information regarding that study that's ongoing right now. That is something that the county's undertaken, but we do spend a lot of time actually here at MPC and with the Corps trying to help with regional coordination for transportation planning as well as working with the Capital Area Transit Group or CAT to deal with transit as well, because that's another component that needs to be addressed as we're moving forward to try to address all of our needs.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion? Does anyone want to make a motion?
Cole, as I make a motion that we approve the staff's recommendation with the following changes, that we remove item number 1 from the recommendation and that we change number 2 to board approval, not staff approval, and that we amend item number 3 to be specific about requiring the developer to contribute their pro rata responsibility to the addendum improvements on the roadways.
Mr. Morrow?
Staff would be amenable to that. I'm just going to try and
reword it for us.
When you do these things on the fly, they never pan out.
Do we have a second? Thank you.
For discussion, the last one, the pro rata on the traffic impact study, was that same terminology used on? I meant, correct. Was that same terminology in idea used on Hopeton when we did it? Just a question.
I don't believe so.
Madam Chair, if I could just make a further that discussion. I would think that the pro rata share of any type of transportation or infrastructure improvement would have to be done through some type of an agreement with the developer and probably the owner of the right of way, which at this point is the county, and the city as the jurisdiction that would be approving this. So that would be separate and apart from a zoning matter. We've done that before, but I just want to make the board aware that it wouldn't necessarily be part of the zoning approval or disapproval, but it would have to be a separate cooperation agreement.
And you could enforce that without
the implementation request.
I think the recommendation is sound, but it's separate and apart from the zoning matter.
Thank you.
So leave out the pro rata altogether.
I have no objection to that being a part of the recommendation.
Okay.
So do we take a vote since we've got a motion and a second at this point?
Sure. Any uncomfortableness? All right, Ms. Amick.
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Y. Woody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Well, let's see what we can do to get that road improved. It really does behoove all of us, I think. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
All right, we have no presentations, no other business. I'm sorry. We do have other business.
I just want to make sure that I remind all of you that we have a special called meeting on April the
23rd
at 1:30 here. So please do your best to attend. We would not want to be stuck without having a quorum. There's only one item on the agenda, and that is to look at the Gwinnett and Broad Street plan development project. So, again, that's on April the 23rd.
Sent back to us by City Council.
And it was sent back to us by City Council to do another review of that.
Do we currently have a quorum committed to that meeting?
Right now, no. That's why I am mentioning it again. We really need to have a quorum present. We can have participation on the phone, but we have to physically have a quorum here. So it won't take a ton of time, or it will take as much time as you take with regards to questions or concerns that you might have, but there's only one item on the agenda. Thank you. The other thing, too, is that for those of you that did not get an opportunity to get your photo taken, the photographer is here. So please, any setup, so please stop by because we would really like to have all of the photos of all the board members taken. So, and he's set up in the front of the building. So,
all right, thank you,
Ms. Jarrett.
Yes.
If I may, this may be a little premature, but wanted to ask this kind of the general nature of why council sent it back to us for a review. Like I said. Maybe a little bit too premature to ask that, but I was just curious so that we can kind of have a real idea as to what we would be diving into beyond what we've already explored. Cause I didn't get a chance to see the council meeting. So I'll say that I'm not 100% certain why they sent it back.
All right. Thank you.
I will just in general, if you don't mind, Madam Chairperson, the council wanted us to take another look at this project because there have been a number of changes made that actually staff recommended between the item leaving MPC and going to the board. The city manager was involved with working with the developer to encourage them to make some of those additional changes, and they wanted to make sure that the MPC got an opportunity to look at those changes and address any other questions or concerns that the community might have before they make a final recommendation and decision on the item. So that's why it's coming back before this board.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that got you taken care of, Mr. Stevens?
That's good to go. I appreciate it.
All right. Good deal.
Motion to adjourn.
All right. Second. Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.